how to leap over whatever the enemy brings my way. Do I have anybody here that say just yesterday, just last week, just last year, the devil laid a trap for me, but God gave me hinds feet. I was able to overcome it. I was able to leap over it. I look back at it and say, yeah, they tried it, but the Lord made a way. Do I have anybody? Yeah, I got sick.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Our Father and our God, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text that we're bringing forth today. You know each and every one of us by name. You know our needs. You know our desires. And you know, Lord God, what this very hour calls for. So speak in such a clear manner that we can't deny you talking. Give us understanding, illumination, so that we might be able to hear and heed what you have to say. We love you, we trust you. We now wait to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Your servant heareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 14. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Very familiar text, especially to those who have been in the church of God for any amount of time. We've read about it in Sunday school. We've heard it preached and taught in Bible studies. And it is just one of the beloved words that we as believers have to hold on to. And verse 14 says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which is called to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, watch God do it. Watch God do it. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen, are the words of Abraham. My brothers and my sisters, this familiar and fantastic story is one that gives to us many interesting observations and insights to this issue of faith and trusting God, of the life of the man who is known as the father of faith, one who has been called from a heathen nation to form a relationship with God of such intimacy that he's known as the friend of God, that he shows that God is truly no respecter of persons, that if you are willing to yield yourself to God above and follow his word, that God can use any such person. One of the things that I want you to look at in these 14 verses, because the story really unfolds and unravels for your understanding in just 14 verses, so you won't have long to understand what's going on here. But there are three things, if you get nothing else out of this story, that I want you to concentrate on. And the first thing is that this is a story of uncommon faith. Uncommon faith. It's also a story of uncommon obedience. Uncommon obedience. And then it's a story of uncommon determination. This man was dedicated. Dedicated is the word I choose. Uncommon dedication. He was determined to follow the ways of the Lord with such uncommon dedication. His determination is seen in such a way that God himself is pleased above measure. When we look at verse 1 and 2, you'll see that this issue of faith is unraveled. First of all, it's God desiring to tempt Abraham. Now, this word tempt is not from the same word that we get the temptations of lust and flesh. It is the word of trials and testings. Trials and testings. Well, what is the purpose of this test or trial that God has on display for Abraham? I'm glad you asked. It's important for you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that God wants us to understand that on this journey called faith, we reach one level of faith to the next level. It's a constant testing. It's a constant trying to develop you and to bring you to the place where God would have you to be. Faith begins this journey, but faith also develops this journey. Faith continues on until you have ended this journey. Amen. Faith is a beginning step to an ending journey. God wants you to grow each level of faith as you walk closer to him and as you walk longer with him. By testing your faith, God is able to promote you to the next level of faith. God will not put more on you than you are able to bear. Knowing this, the only way that God can give you a greater blessing is to try you with a greater lesson. In other words, when God knows that you are ready for a promotion, he has to give you an examination. And here's what I want you to know about faith, that in order for you to be elevated, you have to be examined. Examination before elevation. Examination before elevation. One of the things that you're going to note with the walk of Abram, who is now called Abraham, because his faith continued to develop after every decision he made some good decisions, mostly good, but he made some bad decisions. This is not about being perfect. This is about striving for perfection. Listen, let me just throw out some facts about Abraham in his walk with the Lord. Listen, Abram at the time had to get himself together, but his heart was sincere. His heart was right. He desired to follow God. He desired to be what God wanted him to be, but that required testing. So one of the tests God put him through, and he understood that there was a famine. He had to go into another land. He told his wife, Sarah, at that time, who is now Sarah, listen, you're so wonderful, so beautiful, so delightful, men would kill to have you. So I want you to tell everyone that you're my sister. That was the first test he failed, because Sarah was his wife. Now, that was a half-true at play. She was his half-sister, but she was his whole wife. And how many of you know a half-truth is worse than a whole lie, because it uses an element of deception in the small parts of truth that people see that make them think what you're saying is true. And so he failed that test, but God didn't fail him. Here the king was about to partake of the pleasures of his wife, his newfound joy, and God had to remind him, wait a minute, this woman is spoken for. You touch her and everything you know comes to naught. He told him, take his wife and all of his stuff and get on out of his land. But then Abram moves on. Abram makes another decision that was wrong. God told him he was going to bless him with a son. Well, he tells him that, and 13 years to be exact, God has not given him that son with Sarah. Sarah's idea was to take her handmaid, Hagar, and offer him to Abraham to father a child. And this, of course, was at the decision that God needed their help in bringing forth his promise. Another bad decision. God didn't need his help to do what he promised he would do. And so, as you know, they had the baby. So his first son's name was Ishmael. And he had Ishmael with Hagar. But the problem was, Ishmael was not the son of promise. He promised Abraham and Sarah that they would bring forth a son, a child. Listen, it was 25 years after the promise that God brought forth Isaac. God showed him, even after he had made his second major mistake, that God didn't need his help, that God could provide anything he promised. Now, I need to pause right here and tell somebody
God, when he promises you anything, no matter how difficult it may appear, no matter how much you may seem to go through, God does not need your help to bring to pass his promise. If he promised you, he can provide what he promised. And I think, my brothers and sisters, this will be helpful for us to understand that God is in the business of honoring his own word. When God told him to leave his home, his family, etc., leave his kinfolk, he wanted to bring somebody with him, kinfolk Lot. God told him, leave him alone, leave him there, but he wanted to bring him along with him. As he did, God wind up letting him pick what he wanted. He picked what he wanted. Listen, the best, the most fertile of the land, and yet that land came to naught because in that land were people who did not believe God, did not trust God, did not live for God. And so Sodom and Gomorrah became a great distasteful reality in the sight and nostrils of God, so much God destroyed it. And that would not have happened had he left Lot home behind. But I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there are times that God promises to bring you up. He doesn't promise to bring everybody else with you up. Let me throw this out for free. You can't bring up nobody God doesn't take up. I said you can't bring up nobody that God doesn't take up. If God wants them to come up, he don't need your help to bring them up. God will do it because of who he is. And so we see in verse 1 and 2, God decides he's going to try Abraham. And he tests him with his son. Listen to what it said. His only son, Isaac. Why does he say that? Because he's the only son of promise. He's the only one through which Abraham's seed would come and make as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. It was going to happen through Isaac and then through Jacob. But if you cut Isaac off, then what happens to the promise of God? Listen, it's a test. It's a test. Abraham has failed enough tests to realize you got to trust God or not. You either accept what he say or not. But there is no in between. And so not knowing what God was going to do and how God was going to do. Look at verse 3, because this is where the obedience began, this uncommon obedience. So the next morning early, he takes his two servants, he takes his son and himself, takes the wood and the fire, and they start heading toward Mount Moriah. He sees it in verse 4. Verse 5, he stops and he makes a prophecy. He prophesies. Wait here while me and the lad go up and worship yonder, and we shall return. We're going up together and we're coming down together. Although I know God told me to sacrifice him up there, I'm speaking right now. We're going up together and we're coming down together. I'm not going to disobey God. I'm going to do everything God told me to do, but we're going up together and we're coming down together. Wait right here. They transfer the wood from the servants to Isaac. Isaac has the wood. Abraham has the fire. They're going up the mountain. Verse 7, Isaac puts two and two together. This wasn't his first sacrifice. He says, my father, I like the way he said that.
My father.
Just humble and trusting. I see the wood for the sacrifice. I see the fire. But where is the lamb? And then in verse 8, Abraham says something so profound that is still prophetic. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And they go on up the mountain. And Isaac is pondering what Abraham has said. But Abraham is still operating in obedience. And so he takes the wood and he takes it off of Isaac and he builds the altar. And after he built the altar from the wood that Isaac carried up, he put Isaac on the wood. And there he took that leather band that carried the wood and bound Isaac up with that strap, leather strap it was. And there, listen, he continued to obey God. Now I want to take a moment right here, my brothers and sisters, because I know I got some holy folk in the house. I know I got some real folk in the house today who love the Lord with all their heart. But if God would have asked you to do the same thing that he asked Abraham to do, the first thing you would have said is, the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. I know God ain't in this. God gave me this son. I prayed for this son. He's the son of promise. I know God wouldn't tell me take my son, my only son, and sacrifice him as an offering. I know God ain't in this. Or we would have thought about, I got to pray, I got to fast. Yeah, yeah. And pray. And even if we think we're right about hearing God again, we got to call up two, three other brothers. I need you to pray with me because I got an answer, but something just ain't right in my spirit. I don't believe God would ask me to do this. Take my son and kill him, sacrifice him. Abraham didn't ask nobody anything. He continued on with his obedience. Listen, Isaac was obedient to Abraham. Abraham was obedient to God. Isaac didn't say to his father, Father, I thought you said God would provide himself a lamb. I don't look very much like a lamb. Why am I on the altar? He never, ever said a word. His father, in the midst of binding him, the record is Isaac never said a word. Trusting. Trusting. And so now, the moment of real trust comes when Abraham takes the knife and holds it up over his only begotten son. And knowing in his heart that he's gone through too much already, that God don't say what he don't mean. If he said it, that settles it. And he was getting ready to come down with that knife. And an angel spoke from heaven. Said, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. For now I know that what you have, hear this paraphrase, in your heart is sincere. Listen at this now. Listen at this. He makes clear to Abraham that he understood that his obedience to God was uncommon, it was sincere, and it was real. Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on that altar that very moment. So much so that there was not a need for it to be completed because it was already done in his heart. No delay was going to show that he did not believe God. He was getting ready to bring the knife down and to stab his son and offer him as a sacrifice. But the angel spoke in time and stayed his hand and spared his son. His obedience spared his son. Did you hear what I said? His obedience spared his son. And there in verse 13, a ram was caught in the thicket. And the thicket was like a vine. And it was wrapped and enwrapped in a bush. And the ram, who was on the mountain already, that was his territory. In my sanctified imagination, I want you to come up here with me if you don't mind. The ram was looking and preparing to make a charge. Why? Because rams were very territorial animals. And whenever another ram would come in any other ram's territory, that would be a head button session. You ever seen it on National Geographic or any of those? They would butt heads enough to kill a man. But they guarded that territory with their lives. But this ram saw Abraham and Isaac and didn't quite know what to make of it, so he thought he'd get a closer look in the bush. And he got in the bush, but one problem was that was a thicket in the bush, and the thicket got around his horns. And when he realized Abraham and Isaac was coming toward him, he started shaking the bush, trying to get out of the bush. But the thorns and the thickets had his horns, and all it was, while he was planning an ambush, all the shaking was an alarm that there was something in the bush that they could use. No, it wasn't a lamb, but it was a ram. Now, there's a reason for that. The reason is because the ram was for Isaac as an individual sacrifice. The lamb was for the world, of which God had provided for himself. And the only lamb that could save the sins of the world was named Jesus. And so God had already provided himself from the foundation of the world, this lamb called Jesus. But since they were already in the mode of sacrifice, something had to live. So that meant something had to die. And so in the bush, a ram showed up just on time. And they took the ram and offered him as a sacrifice. And God was pleased because the law of the blood is if something lives, something must die. And the ram died. And Abraham rejoiced in that mountain that day and called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. I didn't know how he was going to do it. I didn't know when he was going to do it. I just knew he was going to do it. And all he's trying to tell somebody since then is, if you need a miracle work, Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding.